We never, ever use people to get things. We use things to bless people.
Today, Kenneth Copeland and Frederick Price help us understand God's true purpose of prosperity. Learn how we can make a difference and become a blessing to a lost and hurting world. Next, here on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and Brother Fred Price is with us again today, and you're going to really be glad you tuned in today, and I'll tell you in a moment why. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. Oh, my. Your word has been sent and has healed us. Your word has separated us from the kingdom of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of your dear Son, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Fred, you said something when we were in a break there a while ago that really we really need to dig into this. Why did Jesus come? Now, I know the world has a view of why he came. Traditional religion has a view and idea of why he came. Most Christian people don't know. I'm going to just turn this to you because of things that you were talking about just before we went on the air, that we got to get into this.
Okay, I want to revisit again Deuteronomy 8:18 and take off from there because all of it's tied into why Jesus came. Again, traditionally, everybody thinks that he came to die. But he never said, we say, tradition says, theology says that he came to die, but he never said this. It's incredible when you look at it, but we'll see it in a moment. And it's all tied in with prosperity and the purpose of prosperity. Wow. All right. Deuteronomy 8, verse 18. Mm-hmm. Again, this is the children of Israel prior to going into the promised land. Father said a word through the prophet. In verse 18, he says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth." As I said before, he didn't say, "I give you wealth, I give you power or ability to get the wealth." If he does that, since Father God is a purpose-driven God, he's got to have a purpose in that. Why am I giving you wealth? Got to be a purpose in that, a reason, in other words. Now, he says, gives you power to get wealth. Now, I like to tell people do this. Right next to the word wealth, there's a comma. Right in the margin, you ought to be able to write the word "so."
That's right.
Because it just kind of drives it home. So it would read like this. "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, so that he..."
Yes, sir.
"So that he may establish his..." So that he may establish his... So this is about... The wealth is about him. Not about us. It's about him. "That he gives us power to get wealth, so that he may establish his covenant, not our private agendas, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day." So now the question comes, okay, establish his covenant. What is his covenant? What is his covenant? Now we know the term old covenant, new covenant, but is that what he's talking about? What really is God's agenda? What's his covenant? Well, he started out creating a family in the Garden of Eden.
Amen.
And Adam threw it away, flushed it down the toilet. God lost his family. God wants his family back.
That's true.
So he set about establishing a means by which that can be accomplished. Of course, we know ultimately Jesus is the centerpiece of that. But the covenant is so that we can be workers together with him. Because he says, I give you power to get the wealth, but so that he, so you and he, we and him, we're in a relationship together. Okay, now let's put the punchline on it. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Very familiar, but many times people don't make the connection. They read it, they like what they hear, but they don't make the connection. What we're going to read now is
Second Corinthians, chapter 6.
Okay. Directly, it's directly connected to what we just read there in Deuteronomy. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. All right, verse 1. It says, we then, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, we then as workers, not vacationers, we then as workers together with him. With is the keystone, not for him. How many times do we hear Christians say, well, I want to do something for the Lord. What you going to do for him? Bring his shoes in after a heavy day's work in the universe? If he didn't need you to start this thing, why does he need you now to keep it running? No, with. We then as workers together with him. So that tells me that him is doing something and is giving me the privilege to assist him in it. Doing what? Together with him, we then as workers together with him. Also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. But it says with him, so that means he's doing something. What is he doing? That covenant that we read about in Deuteronomy 8:18. That he may establish his covenant. Apparently we're in league with him in a positive way to get that covenant established. Now, if I'm a worker together with him, in the natural, if I come to work for a guy and he's building a house or he's working on a car and I'm going to help him, I got to have some tools. I got to have some equipment. Or I'm not going to be able to help him. I'll just be a hindrance, not a help. Mm-hmm. So the prosperity is so that, that wealth is so that we can help him to establish the covenant. And so we're workers together with him.
It's not just to get your bills paid.
No.
Getting your bills paid is part of it, but that's not the purpose of it anymore than his purpose was just to die.
Exactly right.
That's not the focus.
Residual benefits. All our stuff, as I've said before, is taken care of. But the primary thing is to establish his covenant. Now, let's find out what that is. Jesus told us about it. Look now at Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. I said it when we were talking before the broadcast about the fact Jesus never said he came to die. Now, people who don't listen, they'll say, oh, my God, Pastor Price, I knew he was a cult leader. He said Jesus didn't die. I never said that.
No,
I said that he never said I came to die. That's what I said. I didn't say he didn't die. I said he, out of his mouth, never said that I came to die.
His purpose for coming was much higher than just coming to die.
Absolutely. But
Which he did die.
He
didn't stop there because stay dead.
No,
man.
Exactly. All right.
Hallelujah.
All right. Luke 19, beginning with verse 8. This is incredible. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. Because the Son of Man has come. Now he's getting ready to tell us why he came. The Son of Man has come for what? To seek and to save that which is lost. He didn't say I came to die. He said, I came to seek and to save. There are two primary things among everything else he said. Two primary things. This is the primary one. The first thing he said, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. And it costs money. That's why he provided the wealth.
Yes, sir.
To seek and how am I going to get to Africa? How am I going to get to Siberia? How am I going to get to the ends of the earth? How am I going to get there? Am I going to walk? No. It's going to cost you money, and every day, every week, it costs more and more money to get there. If you fly, it costs money. If you ride a boat, it costs money.
Fred, we tried for centuries to do it by walking to Africa. And what did it get us?
Nothing. Not much.
I'm not putting down the people
absolutely.
That did that because, man, that's all we knew.
That's all they knew.
And God bless them, they absolutely. Did it if they had to walk.
There it is.
But that wasn't God's purpose in the thing for us to go just poor mouth all the time.
No. He said, I came, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. This is the primary thing. There's a secondary thing that goes right along with it. John chapter 10. We're workers together with him. Oh, now this is...
Seeking and saving
the
cost
lost.
Money.
It costs mega bucks.
It costs money to seek them. It costs money to save them. And it costs money to teach them after they get saved.
There it is, my brother. There it is.
That's it, isn't it?
Now, here is a passage of Scripture, everybody knows, but I want to show you something. John 10, verse 10. We're talking about why Jesus said he came. One thing. He said, I have come. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Watch this, verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it, life, more abundantly. He said, I have come, not to die, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly.
Man, I'm telling you, that's
It's the twofold thing there. Life is life in him, that's spiritual life. But then abundantly, that has to do with the material aspect
of
life.
Yes, it does.
Now, I asked my congregation when I taught this some time back, and I said to them, because I was concerned about seeing people, Christians, after all the years I've been teaching this word and they've been hearing the word, why a lot of them have not progressed to a certain level. So I said, I asked the congregation, can we get a consensus of opinion? What does the word abundant mean? Can we agree on a synonym, as it were, for abundance? Bottom line was we came up with this statement, more than enough.
More than enough.
More than enough. Then I asked the people, I said, how many of you have been in this ministry and or in a ministry like this, a teaching ministry, for at least 10 years. Almost every hand in the congregation went up. Then I asked this question. How many of you are living in more than enough? I think we had 6 hands.
Oh, God, that's... Oh, my.
More than enough. Everybody's struggling.
Oh,
how long does it take to get to more than enough? Jesus said he came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You said you agreed that abundance means more than enough, so you ought to be in this more than enough. Why not? I'm in it. Not because I'm good, or even though I am good, but because of principles in the Word of God that I discovered and I used. It works. He said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And it's only when you get to abundance that you can be a blessing to somebody else. You can't give your rent money to help somebody else. Fool, you'll be outdoors like them.
Yeah.
You got to have reserves, resources to be able to give and to help. And it's Father God doing it through us because we're the channels. Why? We're workers together with him. Now.
And in that, he needs you and me and you.
Absolutely.
He needs us.
Absolutely.
But he don't need us broke.
No. All right. Go to Matthew 18. We're going to look at some more because I don't want to go just with one scripture about why he came or even two. Look at something else. Matthew 18. So we can hear this out of Jesus' own mouth. I think folks might believe that Jesus... They might believe him if they don't believe us. Matthew 18. Listen to this. This is Jesus again speaking. Verse 11. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost.
There he is.
Here it is again.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't say he came to die. Came to save that which was lost. All right. Look at John 12:47. See, all this is the word. People can't argue with the word. You may argue with me, but you can't dare argue with the word. I don't think you're that bold. John 12. And this is, we're looking at Jesus himself. We know it's Jesus speaking because it's in red.
Mm-hmm.
You know that. It's the Lord. All right. John 12:47. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world.
Praise God.
That's why he said he came. All right, wait a minute. We're not through. Luke chapter 9. Have to give the game theorists enough rope to wrap the rope of Scripture around their neck and choke out all their unbelief.
Amen.
Luke 9 and verse 56. This is again Jesus speaking. It says, "For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them."
Yeah.
So he never said that he came to die. Now, in order to seek and save that which is lost, in order to save men, it was going to necessitate him dying.
Yeah, had to do that first.
See?
Yeah.
But that's not why he came. He told us why he came, to seek and save that which is lost. He didn't even say he came to build a church. What? He never came. He never said, "I came to build the church." He said, "On this rock of truth that I am the Son of God, I will build the church," because it's going to take that vehicle to seek and to save that which is lost.
That was the purpose, seeking and saving.
That was the purpose.
Now, if he needs you and me and you and he needs people to seek, he needs people as instruments of other people's salvation.
That's right.
He's not just getting them saved by himself.
Mm-mm.
No. He's using the church to do that. Then he needs us to prosper those people as well as get them saved.
Right? Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's all part of the plan.
It's all part of the plan.
And the prosperity is not the end.
No.
The prosperity is to help seek and save.
That's right. It's a means to the end.
I got it, man.
And then, and the beautiful thing about it, our Father is so magnanimous. He is just so outstanding. In the process of seeking and saving, in the process of doing what he said, all of our stuff gets taken care of over and above anything we could ask or think.
Yeah.
And you don't have to seek things. If you seek him, the things will seek you.
Oh, that's true, Fred.
You don't have to go seeking things. Seek to do his will, and the stuff takes care of itself. Not to say you don't have to use your faith, but the point is, it's not all about seeking things. Dang, I want to get this, I want to get it. No, you don't do it. You want to get past that. Get past to the point where you become a channel of blessing.
I heard Keith Moore say this, and the moment I heard him say it, I just adopted it from my own mouth. We never, ever use people to get things. We use things to bless people.
Can't beat that. That's it.
People are the... My goodness, man.
That's it. That's it. That's why Jesus came, and that's why we have to prosper. We cannot do it on a welfare check.
Now, what I'm seeing, and I've seen this for a number of years in my own life, but I'm seeing it more and more and more, particularly in situations like the world's economy is in right now. This is not a matter of whether I want to or not. It's not just left up to me. He needs me. He needs me prosperous. He needs me well. He needs me strong. He needs me in faith. He needs me in love. He needs my family. He needs everything, Fred, that we can do.
That's right.
And so it's not my choice to decide whether I need little or much or whether I need to be well or not. No. He's already made that choice. So we need, because of him and what he's done for us, to do everything we can by faith to receive and to walk in what he's given us.
That's exactly right.
Oh, man, I see it afresh, anew today. That's the real fire in your bones, isn't it?
Yeah, I love it.
It really is.
Yeah. Now, let's look at a couple of more things here. Philippians chapter 2, quickly. Yeah, Philippians chapter 2. Because again, all of this, Satan has so screwed it up in the minds of people, particularly religious people in religion, that it's cheated Father God first and the Lord Jesus Christ out of getting the job done. Because, as I said before, we are all that he has. You know, he said one time, Jesus said this, he said, "You're the light of the world." He never said we were the light of the church. He said, we're the light of the world. Yeah. Well, the church traditionally has thought he meant tail light. But he meant headlight.
Headlight, man.
Now watch this. Philippians chapter 2. This is where we all got to come to. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What was his mind? To seek and to save that which is lost. Now notice what he said. He said, let this mind be in you. So it's not going to be in there unless you let it be.
You're going to have to let it be.
You got to let it be. It's not going to be automatic.
That's right.
It's not automatic. You got to let it be there. And what was his mind? To seek and to save that which was lost. Bottom line, that should be our desire and our purpose. I want to prosper so I can sow seed into the kingdom of God to get this word out. I can't do it by myself, and he never called me to do it by myself. But I know through experience, it costs money to get. It costs money to print Bibles. It costs money to print literature like that. It costs money to send missionaries and support them. They shouldn't have to go out there and scrounge around trying to make ends meet.
Never was God.
No, no, no. There are the senders and the goers. You're either a sender or a goer if you're a Christian. Mm-hmm. But you can't send if you don't have resources.
That's right.
And they can't go if they're not supported.
That's right.
So it's the devil has played a game on us.
He said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you.
Here it is.
So that's the very same calling. And that means the very same equipment, not only in the anointing, not only in the healing ministry, because he said, you lay hands on the sick and they'll recover.
Right.
You go into all the world. Well, if you're going to go into all the world, that also means the wherewithal to go into all.
That's exactly right. You can't get there if you don't have the wherewithal.
When the Lord spoke to Gloria and me about believing God for that citation 10, jet airplane, he said, if I tell you to be in Tokyo in the morning, I don't want you to have to ask somebody if you can go.
That's right.
Well, since then, I've had that to literally come to pass. Not too long ago, he called Gloria and me on a mission that didn't have any financial remuneration to it at all. He told us to, you go such and such and you get this done. We're a long ways from here. And I was out there on the ramp getting that airplane ready. He says, you remember when I told you about that? I said, if I need you in Tokyo in the morning? Mm-hmm. I said, yes, sir. He said, well, I need you in such and such place this morning. And it pleases me that you're able to go.
Hmm. Awesome.
Man, you think I was sitting up tall when we fired that thing off, man, and hit out of here, Chloe. I didn't have to go begging and this and that to get gas enough to go. And because he had a mission.
Yeah.
And we out of time again. My goodness. Brother Fred and I'll be back in just a moment.
In these economic times, are we as Christians supposed to prosper? The answer is yes. The Word says that you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth. God knows what lies ahead, and He has given everything we need to see us through to victory. He wants us to prosper in every area of our lives, and that includes our finances. Frederick Price has written a powerful book, Prosperity, Good News for God's People. This book gives sound biblical advice concerning God's plan for us to prosper.
There are no quick fixes as such, other than fixing your mind.
Do you know the difference between the world's prosperity system and God's prosperity system?
Hey, it isn't over. You get a hold of God's word and you press in there, praise God.
Prosperity, good news for God's people.
To order your copy of Prosperity, Good News for God's People by Frederick Price, log on to our website at kcm.org and order online. This dynamic new book reveals God's design and purpose for increase and is now available for just $15. To request your copy by phone, call 800-575-4455. Or you may write to us at Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Order your copy today.
You know, you really need to make a project out of Brother Fred's new book, Prosperity, Good News for God's People. You really need to make a project out of this. Use this for seed. Sow it into your kinfolk. Sow it into your church. If your pastor doesn't have a copy of it, get him a copy of it. Because this is not just good reading and powerful stuff. There are things in here, just like when he was talking about why. I mean, why did God need you to have? Because his purpose was that you may prosper in abundance, praise the Lord. So, let me ask you this. Do you know the difference between the world's prosperity system and God's prosperity system? Do you know the difference? Well, you know there is a difference, but do you know what it is? How does it change your life today when you find out you're already in God's system? You just need to put it into operation. Well, I can tell you right now, you need to get this book. You need to get your hands on one of these. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we pray over your people out there all over the world. Yes. Oh, Jesus, we need you. We need you more than we've ever needed you before. And you're more available than you ever have been before because of your outreach to us. And we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you something. Wherever you are in the world, any day of the week, there are people here at KCM for you, anointed prayer ministers. No, when you call here, it doesn't go to some other place where we've hired people to pray for you. No. Now, I just really want to make that clear to you. These are people that know how to pray, anointed to pray, and they're right here at KCM. So, get on the website, find out. The phone numbers are there. Praise the Lord. We're here for you. Praise God. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, Kenneth Copeland, Fred Price reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Visit our website today at kcm.org. There you can purchase this week's broadcasts on DVD or CD or a copy of today's product through our online store. Kenneth Copeland Ministries has a resource of teaching materials and study tools designed to help you find the biblical answers to your questions. Believe the love God has for you, walk in the blessing, and let the glory of the Lord shine in your life. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland in 2009. Come to the Sydney Victory Campaign from the 21st to 23rd of May at the Sydney Entertainment Center, 35 Harbour Street, Haymarket, Sydney, New South Wales. Come to the Brisbane Victory Campaign from the 28th to 30th of May at the Brisbane Convention and Exhibition Center at the corner of Merivale and Glen Elk Street, South Bank, Brisbane, Queensland. To find out more, visit kcm.org or call 800-600-7395. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
We see it all the time. People get things, and the things end up controlling them. Mm-hmm. And their lives go down the tubes as a result of it. We, as children of God, we shouldn't be in that boat. We should be able to handle the things.
Absolutely.
Not them handle us.